Well, good morning, everybody. It's always a delight to be here. I was telling Danny that I feel a little like an exchange student today because Bill Groves is speaking up at where I go at the Creative Thought Center, and I'm down here, and we always like to hear each other's talk, so can't do that today. Can I lower this just a little bit so I can look down and still have it? Okay, I think that's good. Can you all hear me? All right. So it was a beautiful drive down here today. Very few of the trees were starting to blush a little bit. They were getting a little red because they know they're going to be naked very soon. But it was just such a delightful drive. It was a little foggy at times, but this is my favorite time of year. So I hope that you're all enjoying this beautiful autumn as well. And we just celebrated the equinox. And I was thinking about that word equinox, which means equal. And isn't that what we're all striving for on this planet? You know, people having equal rights, knowing that we are all equally loved. And there's been such a diversity divisiveness on the planet. So it's time for us to all come into this equality of this time of year. So, a bit of trivia. Did you know that the very first cordless phone was created by God, and she called it prayer. And it's the world's greatest wireless connection. I'm going to turn this light on. No, I'm not. It never loses its signal, and you never have to recharge it unless you sort of feel a little weak. You might have to recharge it. Anyway, and it's free. So I think that's kind of what prayer is, don't you think? I'm going to be talking about prayer today, but before I do that, there's a story about a CEO of a company, big company, and it happened to be a weekend, and they were having some internet problems. Of course, it was a weekend, so the person who was the internet guru of their company was at home. So he had to call at home to see if he could get the guy to come in to work. So he calls their house, and the phone is answered by a little child who was whispering, "Hello?" And the man says, "Hi, is your daddy there?" And the child whispers, "Yes." "May I speak to him?" And the child whispers, "No." "Well, is your mommy home?" And the child whispers, "Yes." "May I speak to her?" "No." So he says, "Well, is anybody else there?" And the child whispers, "Yes, a policeman." And the guy says, getting a little concerned here, he says, "Well, may I speak to the policeman?" And the child whispers, "No, he's busy." The man says, "Busy doing what?" "He's busy talking to mommy and daddy and the fireman." So now the guy's getting really concerned, thinking, what's going on? And he's hearing a strange sound in the background. It almost sounded like a helicopter. And he says to the child, "What is that noise I'm hearing?" And the child whispers, "A helicopter." And the man says, "Wow, what is that all about?" And the child says, "Mommy and daddy and the firemen and the policemen and the search team just landed a helicopter in the yard." Now the man is really concerned, and he said, "Wow, what on earth are they searching for?" And there's silence, and then the child giggles and says, "Me." So I think that's a time when we would really be praying, isn't it? Even a committed atheist would want to pray if anything like that were happening, if we thought our child was missing somewhere, or if our child was sick or anything. That's when we jump into prayer. For some people, that's the only time they pray. So I'm going to be talking about prayer today and what it is and maybe what it isn't. There's many forms of prayer. And for me, I don't think there's a right and a wrong form. For me, there are some forms maybe that are more effective than others, but I think they all have a time and a place. But I believe that all of our thoughts are prayers. How many think that way, maybe? All right, there's three of us here. Everything that we send out, it's like I know that Kim May talks a lot about the law of attraction, and I talk about the law of the circle, law of circulation. We send out a thought, it comes back to us. We send out a thought, and while it's out there is when it begins to attract other things of the like frequency. So to me, the law of attraction and the law of the circle work together. But for me, every thought that we think is a prayer. And that's why it's kind of scary, isn't it? Because if you stub your toe and you have a thought or burst out in some words that are not a thanksgiving, you're sending something else out there that you might not really want. So I want to look at some forms of prayer. And one that I thought of is what I call the BBB prayer. The begging, beseeching, and bargaining prayer. And I think if anything were to happen to someone we love, our child is missing or someone is really sick, we automatically, even if we don't believe in prayer, even if we don't believe that we're being heard from anything or anyone outside of us, we go into that kind of a prayer, like, oh, God, please help me. Please fix this for me. Please heal this person. Or, you know, somehow we're beseeching, we're begging. And a lot of times I think that's because we think that God is outside of us. We think that God is maybe a being that's up in the sky, an old man with man always, you know, a long robe and a beard and all of that. But that's not really my opinion of what God is or my belief. And so it's important to realize that God is not something outside of us that's going to fix things for us. But we do, whenever we're in a situation like that, a traumatic situation, we do that, and we might bargain. We might say, oh God, if you just do this, if you find my child, if you do this, I will do anything. I will go to church every single day for the rest of my life. I will never eat chocolate again. Whatever it is that we bargain that we're going to do. And of course, once our prayer is answered and the situation is under control, we probably forget everything that was our part of the bargain anyway. But it is something that, you know, when we're in that situation, traumatic situation, it happens, and we can pray that way. Another kind of prayer is contemplative prayer. Now, I think of Mother Mary as being like the perfect model of contemplative prayer, because she was an Essene. How many know what the Essenes are? I've talked about them before here. In the Bible, we only read about the two sects of Judaism, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but there was another sect of Judaism. It was a smaller group, but they were called the Essenes. They were very contemplative. They lived in nature. They didn't like to be in the cities as much, so they would live along rivers and in the mountains and along the Dead Sea, for one. And we didn't know much about them until in later years. It was in the 1920s that a man named Edmond Bordeaux Zichelli was doing some research in the Vatican archives in the basement, and he discovered some books there, some manuscripts there, that were written by the Essenes, and he, over years, he had them transcribed or translated, and so that's how we first started to learn about this mysterious group of people who were very contemplative. And then, of course, in the 1940s, when we discovered I didn't discover it personally. Somebody discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Nag Hammadi Library, and those were all texts written by these Essene people. Now, they were very, very prayerful. They had a set series of contemplations they did every single day. Every morning, they had prayers or contemplations to the Earthly Mother, as they called it. Each day of the 7 days of the week, it was a different prayer they did, but they all did it together. And then at night, they had their contemplations to the Heavenly Father and all of the aspects of the cosmos and God. And then every noon, at noontime, they would stop what they were doing and they would come together and have prayers for peace, all the different aspects of peace, peace with the body, peace with our friends, peace with all the different things. And so when I think of the Essenes, and we know that Mary and Joseph and John the Baptist were all part of that community, so it's pretty sure that Jesus was raised in the Essene community as well. They were very peaceful people. They were pacifists. They didn't believe in any kind of war or fighting. They were total vegetarians. They believed in reincarnation. And so they just had a lifestyle that was really, that when we say prayer without ceasing, they pretty much lived that kind of a life. But there are many other kinds of prayer that in our day and age, we may be more more able to do or more inclined to do. One would be movement. You might know that Thich Nhat Hanh always talked about walking meditation. You can actually just walk in contemplation, watch, being mindful of every step, and that's a kind of prayer. Or dancing. How many have ever done Dances of Universal Peace? Or how many have ever heard of Dances of Universal Peace? Okay. Also known as Sufi dancing. And each dance, they're like circle dances. People get in a circle. And when I lived in Boulder, Colorado for 5.5 years in the late 90s, that was my main spiritual path. And every Friday in one place, we did the dances. Every Saturday, another place. If you went into Denver on Wednesdays, you could do them there. We would have 100 people doing these dances. And each dance uses the words from a different spiritual tradition. And we would learn the steps, which are very graceful steps for most of the dances. And so we might, maybe the first dance might be using a Christian prayer, and we would learn the words. And once you know the words and the movements, you kind of sink into it, almost like a meditation. And maybe the second song would be Native American. Maybe there would be one that would be of the Jewish tradition or of the Islam tradition, all of the spiritual traditions. But it was just a really beautiful way of really praying or meditating. Now, some people say praying is talking to God and meditating is listening for the answer, however you want to think of that. But it's really a wonderful way to use our whole body in movement and as a form of prayer. We might think of music and singing as a form of prayer. Listening to the songs that we sang today can be a form of prayer. Maybe if you've ever been in a choir that are singing songs that you can sink into that are very spiritual, or even listening to the Ave Maria, listening to Handel's Messiah, those kind of things, that can be a way of praying, I believe. The kind of prayer that we use at the Creative Thought Center, where I go, is we're based on the teachings of Ernest Holmes, and so we use affirmative prayer. And for those of us who use that, we feel like that's the most effective, even though there's no right or wrong in the others. But affirmative prayer has 5 steps to it. The first one is to acknowledge that there is only one, whether you call it one God, one presence, one source, one divine intelligence, there is only one. And the second step is unification, knowing that we are all a part of that one. And so we unify ourselves with that source of our being. And then we make our declaration as to what it is we are asking for or wanting to experience. And then after that, the fourth step is thanksgiving. We always end in gratitude. Not gratitude for what will be, but for gratitude knowing that it already exists. Anything that we could have any desire for, that means it already exists. Maybe we haven't experienced it yet. We haven't brought it into our experience, but it exists. And so we are so grateful for that. And the last one is to release, to know that we have been heard, that our prayer has been heard, and we can release it. We don't have to keep begging, keep beseeching, keep bargaining. We've put out the prayer. It's already out there. We know it's been heard. And it's really a wonderful way of affirming our good. And it's very effective as well. I think forgiveness is so important no matter what kind of prayer we're using. If we're holding a grudge, if we're still talking about what he did 40 years ago, what she did to me, what my parents did that made me the way I am now, we're holding on to all that stuff. It's just programming. We have been programmed to hold on to so much stuff that's not important anymore. And so letting go of that and being able to forgive anything that we think needs to be forgiven, even though really forgiveness is not something that is needed because there's nothing that is unforgivable. So that's important, as is gratitude, always being grateful. And being grateful that we can choose again. When something happens that we have put out there, perhaps with our thoughts, our words, our actions, and it comes back to us, we can be grateful for that too, because it's teaching us what we don't want to be or what we don't want to keep creating. And so, you know, I'm sure we can all think of prayers of gratitude, especially if you have a new baby and you see this adorable little baby. And it's just so cute, and we can be so grateful and feel so blessed. And then they become teenagers. And then we kind of forget about what was it we were so grateful for. And then there are some people that say the parent's prayer, which goes like this. God grant me the serenity to accept that my kids are jerks, the courage to restrain myself from wringing their little necks, and the wisdom to realize where they probably got it from. Yeah. So sometimes we think that our prayers are not being heard. Has anyone ever prayed for something and you just feel like you're not being heard? Like maybe God needs hearing aids. Or maybe your prayer went into his spam folder, something like that, because you might pray and pray and pray and it's not happening. But, you know, sometimes, and there was a cartoon I saw about a little boy who was praying, and he was kind of upset with God, and he said, Aunt Harriet still hasn't gotten married, Uncle Hubert still doesn't have a job, and Daddy's hair is still falling out, and I'm getting tired of praying for this family without getting any results. Amen. So you never know what you're praying for, whether it's going to show up in the way you want it to. Not everything is meant to unfold in the way that we want it to. I know there's something in Neil's book, Conversations with God, book 3, where God was told that you cannot have anything you want. In fact, you'll never get anything you want if you want it badly enough. But you can have anything you choose. So sometimes when we want something so badly and we're praying, I want this, I want that, the universe says, yes, you do. And it gives us more of that experience, the experience of wanting. And so we keep wanting. But we have to choose what it is we plan to create in our lives. And so sometimes things don't unfold the way we want, and there may be good reason for that. We may think that we want something to unfold in a certain way, but if that actually did happen, we may regret it later. So it's really good when we're praying to be able to state our prayer and then always end with this or something even better. How many say that when you're praying at the end of a prayer? It's so good to end a prayer with this or something even better still. Because Spirit knows what's in our highest good. We may have a contract before we come into this life, at least that's my belief, or we may have something that our soul needs to experience that may not be what we want to experience, and there's some reason for it to be. And so when we can just let go of whatever we are praying for and know that it's been heard and that it will unfold in the highest way for our highest good. I think prayer circles can be very powerful. About 10 or 12 years ago, my son-in-law, Bill, had a stroke. He was only 51 years old. And I think I've talked about this here before one time, but he was a very healthy guy. He was a vegetarian. He was a runner. They had a healthy lifestyle. What he didn't know was that there was a pinhole leak in his carotid artery. And one evening, he had a stroke. My daughter, his wife, had left to go get ice cream. In fact, there's a PBS special based on Bill's stroke that the Cleveland Clinic sponsored because they live in the Cleveland area in Ohio. But anyway, Lori had gone out to get ice cream because my granddaughter wanted ice cream, and Bill thought maybe sherbet would help him with this headache that he had. And while Lori was gone is when he had his stroke. And by the time she got home, he was being life-flighted to one of the Cleveland Clinic hospitals. And she called me. Now, they were in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was in Oregon. So when she called me, it was like 3 in the morning for her. It was around midnight for me. And as soon as we hung up, I immediately emailed everyone I knew that had any kind of a prayer gathering at their churches or synagogues or whatever they did, and asked them all to pray for Bill. And I know they all prayed in different ways. They might have prayed that he would be healed. For me, I like to pray that everything is unfolding perfectly. It may not be that he was to be healed. So I had to let go of my desire to have him be healthy again. We had to see what was going to be in his highest good. Anyway, and I also got a picture of him, and I held it between my hands. I put some Reiki energy healing into it. And I had a mantra that I kept saying over and over again. And I think all of that really helped. It took him several years before he was able to speak again because he had total aphasia. But he had to learn like one word at a time and then put words together and then sentences. But overall, in the long run, he had to give up his career, which all had to do with communication. But in the one of his treatments or therapies was art therapy. And he had never even drawn a stick figure before, but he became an artist. In fact, he's a wonderful portrait artist. And some of his portraits look like they would be a photograph. They are that good. That just unfolded from out of nowhere. And he considers his stroke to be his rebirth because it sent him into a whole different kind of life. So our prayers, you know, might have been for him to just snap out of it and be totally well rather than taking years and years to learn to speak. But that was what was important for his soul. How many of you are familiar with Greg Braden? A lot of you. You may have seen the video that he showed at a workshop about the woman who had a tumor. And she had a tumor, I think it was on her bladder. So she was in China. And they had a hospital there that was a medicineless hospital. They didn't use medicine. And they had her lying on a table, like an operating table. And they had a screen, like a computer screen, hooked up so they could see the tumor. And they had three or four of the Chinese people who came in and began to use a mantra directed to this woman, a prayer, but a mantra. And it was in Chinese, but basically it said, already healed. And they kept saying it, already healed, already healed, already healed, over and over and over. And they believed it. They didn't acknowledge the tumor. But you could see on the screen that as they were doing that, really bombarding that tumor with a mantra saying, already healed, you could see the tumor shrinking and it totally disappeared. And it only took like 4 or 5 minutes of them doing that. So that's a very powerful way of praying. In fact, Greg Braden was showing this to a group of people, and just a few years ago, Greg himself had a tumor. And he decided, well, if I'm going to teach this stuff, I'm going to share this, maybe I need to use this for myself. He was already scheduled for surgery, but he decided to take 2 weeks and do the very same thing, bombard his own tumor with a mantra, like that, already healed, not giving it any energy to even acknowledge that. And by the time he went to Mayo Clinic, they couldn't find anything to operate on. So this is really powerful when we use positive statements. I know if we get a diagnosis, it's so easy to go into the fear and we love to tell our friends about everything that's going on with us. You know, I have this disease and that, all of these things. But when we talk about it, we empower it. So it's really important to disempower whatever we don't want. I've had a couple of times in my life where I put so much energy into prayer that I felt like I had a life-changing event. I call it a moment of grace. One of those happened about maybe 35 years ago. I've been divorced for 45 years, and I happened to have been involved in a relationship, and I was very much in love with a man and really wanted to get married to him. And he wasn't quite there yet. He wasn't ready for that commitment. And so we broke up. But I was very, very upset about that. And one night we had been talking on the phone, wondering why our relationship hadn't worked. And I felt that I was going to be crying. So we hung up. I didn't want my kids to hear me crying. I was in my bedroom. They were in the rest of the house. They were teenagers. But anyway, I guess I walked into my walk-in closet. I call this my closet experience. I found myself sitting on the floor of my walk-in closet, and I was crying really, really, really hard, and I was praying. I was praying so hard, putting so much energy into my prayer. And what I was praying, I wasn't saying, you know, I want to get this man out of my life. I want to just forget about him. No, my prayer was, I prayed that I would love him unconditionally forever, but without all of the stuff that we associate with romantic relationships. None of the neediness, none of the you know, jealousies or whatever those emotions are that are out of balance. I just wanted to love them unconditionally. And then I asked that I would love everybody unconditionally. And eventually I calmed down. I was so energetic in that. I finally calmed down, came out of my closet. It was nighttime, so I lay down on my bed and fell asleep. The next morning when I woke up very cautiously. I thought, am I going to burst into tears or what? But I had this sense of calmness come over me. And I have to say, I've never been the same since that night. That was like a turning point in my life. I felt so calm. I felt like there was this glob of joy that was just bubbling up in me. And I got really clear that I didn't need anyone outside of me to make me happy, that my happiness was already in me. And that was long ago. That was long ago. And I've had relationships since then, but I never had the same, that kind of neediness that we sometimes have in a relationship. That attachment. I've not been attached to being with anyone. In fact, that same man, later on, he went to a workshop and he came back all ready to make a commitment. And then he wanted to get married. And I said, I don't want to get married. But I believe it was the energy I put into that prayer. And what I was asking for was not to get rid of anything, but to embrace unconditional love. And I had another experience like that at Mile High Church in Denver, Colorado. I had come out of that church listening to Mile High Church is like a religious science church, huge church, a New Thought church, just like this is. But it's huge. And I went there, and when I came out, I was so inspired, not necessarily by the message that I heard, but by the fact that that minister, Roger Teal at that time, that he was inspiring people. And I wanted to be a person like that. And so I came out of that church and I went out to my car, which was in the far part of the parking lot. And I sat in my car and I had a very, very emotional conversation with God. Everybody else had left. I was the only car left in that parking lot. And I'm crying and I'm talking to God really, really loud, and I'm telling God, I want to be like that minister. I want to be like him. I want to be one of those people. I want to know them on a first-name basis. I want to be friends with them. I want to be in their homes. I want to be one of them. And when I say them, I was referring at that time to people like Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, maybe Neil, although I didn't even know much about Neil at that time. Those kind of people that I consider shakers and movers. I wanted to be able to inspire people. And I finally calmed down. And about a week later, I just decided to go on a clarity quest. I got in my car. I drove all over the West, starting out in Southern California, all the way up through California. And the short story is I ended up in Ashland, Oregon, not knowing why I was there, but decided, okay, I guess I'll move here. And my whole world opened up. Because a year later, I was hired by Neil, and I didn't even have to go looking for that job. It just fell into my lap. I was called one day by his personal assistant, and she said, can you come up to Neil's house and be here in 5 minutes? And I got there. I walked in, and she said, I'm moving back east. He needs a new personal assistant. So it just fell into my lap. But I traced it back to my time sitting in my car, talking to God, putting that much emotion into the prayer. It's like a fervent prayer, the emotion. It's fine to have a calm, peaceful prayer, but putting emotion into it is what, for me, makes the energy start flowing and things open up. So I just want to close by saying that I believe there is help available to all of us for whatever our need is. We're always being heard. Our prayers are always heard. And I think when we can start our day with a prayer, at least when you wake up in the morning, if your first thought is, thank you for a good night's sleep, even if you didn't get one. And thank you for this new day. It's going to be a great day. I say that every morning, even when it's not such a great day. It's a way to begin and end my day with some form of prayer, even if it's only a sentence or two. And then kind of fill in between the morning and the evening with thoughts throughout the day. And so I would offer you a 7-day challenge. Okay, I'll offer you a 1-day challenge. to just be, really become aware of every single thought that you have throughout the day, because we're all works in progress. We all have thoughts of things that we don't want to create, because we've been programmed to think that. We've been programmed to think that maybe we're not enough. We not old enough, not young enough, not smart enough. We don't have enough money. We don't have our health. All of these things that we don't have that we think about. But when we can let those things go, and when you're sending out your thoughts, which are prayers, send out thoughts of, I am so blessed. I am so abundant. I am in perfect health. Even if you're not, keep saying it. It begins to change your physiology. Your physiology, your biology can actually change when you begin to say the mantras, I am healthy. I am abundant. I am so blessed. I am filled with and surrounded with love. All of the things we want to create, we can create it that way by being aware of our thoughts, being aware of our words, being aware of our actions, of course, and just knowing that we are all a part of the one source, and there's nothing that we cannot have or be or do or give. So that's my message to you, and I thank you for being here with me today. And as that song says, you are all blessings to the world. We all are. Thank you.